Welcome to Talking Tech and Learning in District 205, your home for quick, bite-sized tips to support learning activities in your classroom. Hi everyone, it's Matt, and I am back after a couple of months of some really intense work getting this school year started off on the right foot. I hope you have enjoyed a great start to this school year, and I'm going to be back at trying to push out a podcast every 2 weeks for you. So settle in, listen up, and here we go. Hi everyone. Just a reminder that October is National Bullying Prevention Month. Administrators in Illinois, if you have not yet gone over your district or school anti-bullying policy, state law requires that you do so at some point every 2 years, so October would be a great time to do that. You can also find a number of really great activities at www.stompoutbullying.org, at stopbullying.gov, and at the PACER Center's National Bullying Prevention Center website, which is www.pacer.org/bullying/NBPM. Look forward to hearing about all of the great bullying resistant activities that you have planned. Drop me a line or tweet at me and let me know what your school is planning. Thanks. During National Bullying Prevention Month in October, we also find Digital Citizenship Week during October 15 through 19. I'd like to give a shout out to Common Sense Education, who has developed a comprehensive digital citizenship and internet safety curriculum for students in grades 3 through 12. Their curriculum resources include the Digital Passport Program for grades 3 through 5. They have some great flash-based games that students can play to learn some basic internet safety strategies. Digital Compass takes things a little deeper in grades 6 through 8, and the Digital Bytes program is appropriate for grades 6 through 12. There are full lesson plans and educator and facilitator resources that you can find at commonsense.org/education. This would be a great way for teachers to satisfy the Illinois mandate requiring internet safety to be taught every year to students in grades 3 through 12. You'll find more information about this in the show notes. If you haven't noticed yet, Google Classroom released an update in August that is, controversial to some. For many of us, we find it wonderful. Some folks are still trying to get used to it. So here are 10 things to try with Google Classroom. Number one, make sure you use a different classroom for each class period. For those of us in middle school, if you try to keep 150 kids going in one classroom, that's going to be really hard for you to manage. So separate your classroom environments for each class period. Please understand that when you make an assignment, you can still assign the same homework, so to speak, to multiple classes with a single post. Just click that drop-down menu at the top of your assignment when you create it. Tip number two, you aren't limited to the number of classrooms that you can create, so feel free to create different classroom environments, not just for each period, but maybe for each semester, each term, maybe even each unit. That will help make it easier to find posts When you want to reuse them next year, you can just go to that semester, that term, that unit, and you'll have a far fewer posts to scroll through. A little hat tip to Alice Keeler on Twitter for bringing that to our attention. Tip number three, organize your classwork page with topics. A lot of us during the first year or so with Google Classroom, we just threw an assignment up and ignored the topics. But now you can create topics in advance and schedule the topic to appear later on. Or you can publish them all and give kids the opportunity to move through the units or modules at their own pace, giving them some choice in their learning. That's a nice update. Tip number four, make a topic called syllabus or class outline or unit resources or something like that. We lost our about page where a lot of folks would put the course syllabus or the course outline. So now just make a topic, keep that up at the top of the classwork page so that they can get to it soon, or easily, I should say. Number five, you can copy and reuse posts. When you do that, they're saved as drafts, so you don't have to reuse them verbatim. You can change them up from year to year or semester to semester if you need to. Tip number six, there are new grading tools now that allow you to open an assignment and flip through student work page by page, which is really wonderful. Number seven, on the people page, the Guardian summaries are easier to get to. You still have to hand enter Guardian emails. But you can also invite as many co-teachers as you want, and you can have students be co-teachers as well if you need to. Let's see. Tip number eight, turn notifications on or off on the settings page. The new settings page is more of a global page now. You have more control over your notifications. Also, control who can and cannot post to your classroom. A lot of teachers don't want students to be able to start new conversations, but you might want to allow the teacher to post and allow students to comment on what you post in the stream, which is kind of nice for bell ringer activities and that sort of thing. If you're using Google Classroom for staff development, or a staff, a couple of principals are using Classroom as sort of a staff hub for information and forms and announcements and things like that, you might want to allow everyone in that sort of a classroom environment to be able to create posts and comment on other posts. So don't neglect that settings page. Tip number nine, if you set up your classroom during the summertime, you may not see the classwork page up at the top. You may just see a stream and a people page. To add the classwork page, just click the question mark and you can add the classwork page and upgrade that Google Classroom to the most recent version. And finally, number 10 is sort of the wah-wah department. We have been promised that we will be able to create quizzes within Google Classroom that are actually Google Forms, and we'll be able to push those out in a locked mode so students can't open a new tab and Google the answers. That has not yet been released. We do not have a release date for that yet, but I know a lot of teachers are looking forward to that. So there are 10 quick things to look for in Google Classroom. There have been a few other updates to G Suite tools. The first most noticeable one is that the sidebar that was rolled out to the new Gmail recently has proven to be so popular that Google has rolled it out to other G Suite applications as well. You now have easy access to Calendar, Keep, and the new Google Tasks app within most of the G Suite tools, including Docs, Sheets, Slides, and Drawings. This is great to help students keep track of assignments, to help students and teachers work on research, and to keep track of daily tasks and projects. I'll drop some links in the show notes to some YouTube videos that will walk you through each of these applications. Also, you will find that predictive text now appears in the Compose window in Gmail. If you want to accept the predicted text that appears in light gray, just tap your tab key and that predicted text will be added to your Gmail, and you can get along with typing out emails a little faster that way. Thanks for listening. I hope you'll take a moment to leave me a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, or wherever you are listening to this episode. And definitely a big shout out to Anchor. This is an amazingly easy podcasting platform. You've done all of the distribution for me. I truly appreciate it. If you would like to collaborate with me on a future podcast episode, visit anchor.fm and look me up. Thanks for listening.